My guest at this time is Matthew Staver. He is the founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel and the dean of the Liberty University School of Law. His organization has filed the latest challenge to the president's health care law. And earlier this week, one of the very first decisions in the new term of the Supreme Court, the administration has been ordered to respond to it. Mr. Staver is here now to explain what the challenge is in regard to and what he expects to hear from the government. And sir, thank you very much, as always, for being with us.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
I think most people suspected that when the high court's ruling on the individual mandate and some other issues came down in late June that this would be the end of the Supreme Court's involvement in this case. Explain for our listeners how your suit is different than what was ruled on previously this year.
Well, we filed the very first private lawsuit on the very first day this case or this bill was signed into law in 2010. And one of the issues that we claimed is the employer mandate and the individual mandate were unconstitutional. And in addition to the fact that Congress lacked authority, we also claimed that they violated the free exercise of religion. So when we went to the Court of Appeals, instead of addressing the very merits of that issue, ultimately ruled that the so-called Anti-Injunction Act applied, and therefore the court could not review the matter until the tax was paid and ultimately a refund was asked, which would not have been until at least 2014, 2015, or beyond. That issue was taken to the United States Supreme Court. We asked the Supreme Court to review that matter and reverse the decision. And it was the very first day of the Supreme Court's 3 days of oral argument that was dedicated to the issue in our case. That was the Anti-Injunction Act. So when the court came down in June and made its ruling, it said, first of all, that the Anti-Injunction Act does not apply. The court can reach the decision right now. Then the court, wrongly, I believe, but it nevertheless did say that the individual mandate is permissible under the taxing and spending clause. Well, that left several things unanswered, and that's what we asked the Supreme Court to address, to allow us to now address the merits of the case that were unanswered by the Supreme Court, and to allow us to go back to the Court of Appeals and then have a fast track back to the United States Supreme Court, namely these. Number one, the employer mandate. Our case was unique because it contained an employer mandate challenge that has never been ruled on by the United States Supreme Court. Number two, our case was also unique because it claimed that both the individual mandate and the employer mandate, if in fact they were to be upheld, nevertheless violated the free exercise of religion by forcing individuals and employers to fund abortion directly for the first time in history. Those are the two issues, and now what the court has done is on the very first day of its term, ordered the Department of Justice to respond within 30 days of our decision or of Monday, and to respond. And then after that, sometime in mid-November, the court will make a decision. I believe we'll be back at the Court of Appeals to address the employer mandate and to address the free exercise of religion as it relates to both the employer and the individual mandate. And then from there, we'll be back on a fast track to the United States Supreme Court.
Your argument on the free exercise of religion is specifically with the original abortion funding as it pertains to the president's health care law. I know there are another series of lawsuits related to the contraception order that came down earlier this year. Do you expect this to be kind of a sprint to the high court to see which one gets there first?
Well, I think it certainly will be several that will be trying to go to the U.S. Supreme Court, and this will put ours at the very top of the heap, so to speak, being at the Court of Appeals already when the court makes this decision. But when we asked the court, when we filed this case on the very first day, we knew that this Obamacare law required forced abortion funding, both on the individuals as well as on the employers, that they would be required to fund abortion. Then when people would come out and say, well, we don't know that it's going to require that, it might not require that, it's hypothetical, we said, no, the law specifically provides for funding of abortion. And then the HHS mandate came out. Well, the HHS mandate is authorized pursuant to this law. It's just a specific manifestation of one of the areas of forced abortion funding. So a number of lawsuits have come out after the HHS mandate, but ours predated that because we knew from the beginning that this law funds abortion. Some people woke up eventually and said, oh, I see, after the HHS mandate came out, that indeed it funds abortion. So ours challenges the law itself, which will include any mandate or anything that comes from HHS with regards to funding abortion. And it funds it in two ways. First of all, for the individual, for the first time in history, it requires each individual to pay a particular fee, and that goes directly into an abortion fund, and that fund funds abortion. This fee doesn't go into a general fund, some of which funds other surgeries or medical treatment, some of which might fund abortion. No, this goes into a specific fund that funds abortion. Very first time in history you can trace the dollar to the actual abortion. Secondly, it requires religious employers and other employers, but certainly religious employers, to also fund abortion as well. And for Liberty University, a Christian university, and for others, that's simply a line we can't cross. It also requires forced funding of contraception and sterilization, but clearly it also requires the forced funding of abortion. That is a direct collision with the free exercise of religion.
Do you suspect that that'll be your stronger case when it comes to fighting the employer mandate? Because my assumption would be that most people would think that because the Supreme Court already ruled that the individual mandate can be interpreted as a tax, that the mandate on the employers might be as well. How do you see that, and how do you counter the argument that they would use the same logic, perhaps?
Well, they might try to use the same logic, but, you know, there's a number of things with regards to that logic that is flawed. Whether they'll ultimately change their view on it, I don't know. Obviously, I think in the decision at issue here, the view was changed. The Chief Justice started off one way, and then in the middle of the writing phase, switched and ultimately flipped on the taxing and spending clause issue, which makes no sense. But the court could go back to saying, no, it's not authorized under the Commerce Clause, and no, it's not authorized under the taxing and spending clause either. But even if they maintain that it's authorized under the taxing and spending clause, just like the individual mandate, we have the strong free exercise of religion, which that is a very strong argument as well. And if we ultimately prevail on that issue, that all the religiously affiliated employers in the country have a free exercise claim, that essentially will gut this law. Also, we have this claim on behalf of individuals, and that means every individual that comes under Obamacare, which is everyone, they also have the free exercise of religion claim. And if we prevail on that, it demolishes the law. So this particular decision that will be upcoming, probably in 2013 by the U.S. Supreme Court, when the case will be reviewed, is a significant one because it could ultimately make a big hole in the bottom of the Obamacare boat or completely torpedo it and sink it altogether.
Matt, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Matthew Staver is the founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. He's the dean of the Liberty University School of Law. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WND.com.